is changing, a page is turning throughout the nations.
Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Pastor Sam is not what you expect to see at a Pentecostal revival meeting. He sports a ginger beard, skinny jeans, and half-sleeve tattoos. The sermons are accompanied by slick lighting, sound, and music, and the results are posted online. And his Toronto sermons attract a younger flock of millennial hipsters searching for friendship, self-actualization, or just something to do. Where did he come from? What does his church believe in? And is evangelical Christianity making inroads into Canada? Blessed is a new documentary that looks at the rise in Canada of C3, an Australian megachurch, its leaders, its followers, and its critics. It follows the stories of some of its young members as they adjust to a new world that doesn't exactly fit with their lifestyles. It's directed by acclaimed Toronto-based filmmaker, Ali Weinstein, whose quirky doc, Mermaids, has been shown around the world. Blessed played at Hot Docs and is having its broadcast premiere this Saturday night at 8 p.m. on CBC Docs POV. And I'm very pleased to have Ali here via Zoom to tell us more about Blessed. Hi, Ali. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi, Daniel. Thanks for taking the time to talk.
So, first, what does C3 stand for? What is it?
Well, the name stands for Christian City Church. That's how it started back in 1980 in Australia. And then I think as they got bigger and sort of expanded to more countries around the world, they decided to rebrand and they named themselves C3.
How did you first hear about it?
I read about it in the news here in Toronto a couple of years ago. I think they were getting a lot of media attention as they got a lot bigger in downtown Toronto. And they had been sort of doing different ad campaigns, marketing campaigns to expand their reach here. And they did this billboard that said, "So God for God." Sorry, I'm misremembering the Bible quote now. But God for God so loved the six, and sort of like referencing Drake within
Drake,
that Bible quote.
That's pretty good.
So I can remember the Drake part, but not the Bible part. But I think that billboard definitely got them a lot of attention, and so they were in the media, and I was just sort of blown away by how successful this church seemed to be amongst young, hip, cool downtown millennials and Generation Zers.
So what makes these so-called millennials and Zoomers or whatever you want to call them, what attracts them to C3?
That's an excellent question. I think that's sort of what the crux of the film really was for me. I wanted to find that out just because I myself am from Toronto. I'm a part of that generation. And my experience growing up with my peers is that not very many people I know are really, you know, very devoted to any religion. It seems like an incredibly sort of secular generation. And I was just really curious about what these young people are looking for that they're getting in an evangelical church and what was sort of drawing them in. But I think it's a lot of things at the end of the day. And because I myself am not Christian, and so I don't come to it from the same sort of religious belief system as some of the people who actually go to C3, I would look at this and see, you know, people are getting a sense of family and, you know, really dedicated friendships that people really seem to be doing life together. I mean, doing life together is sort of like a Christian terminology. But it really means something because the people who go to C3 often join teams at C3 really early in their experience there. They're encouraged to go to connect groups, that's sort of like a rebranding of just essentially Bible study groups. And it sort of becomes their social world very quickly. So I think there's like a very big social aspect to it. And then, as you mentioned in your intro, there's a lot of self-help talk that I hear from the stage at C3 as well. This idea of bettering yourself, self-actualizing, becoming the best and most successful version of yourself in a way that I don't think a lot of other Christian churches, you know, talk about. So I think that really jives with the mentality of a lot of people in my generation who are, you know, already really seeking a lot of self-help books and self-help gurus, you know, who are very focused on the individual and becoming the best version of yourself. And then of course there's the sort of more, the larger religious aspect of it, which is to find purpose and meaning in the world during a time when, you know, there isn't a lot of meaning on offer to us as a generation.
So it's an evangelical church, specifically Pentecostal. And in, when we think of Pentecostal or evangelical churches, we usually think of in the U.S., where they have a very strong political presence as the Christian right, which is opposed to abortion, opposed to sex education, opposed to same-sex marriage, things like that, or premarital sex, period.
Yeah.
How does it present itself in Canada, which is a very different culture than the U.S.?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's a lot complicated with C3 Toronto. And I think if you were to go to C3 Global's website, you can see right on there, they have a list of 25 different core values. And they state quite clearly that marriage should be between a man and a woman, and that they're against premarital sex. And to be honest, I can't remember if they make a statement about abortion on there, but
I don't think it's in one of their, I looked at the same list. Yeah. I didn't see that specifically, but I have heard quotes of Father or Reverend Pringle,
talking
who
about
has come out against abortion, I believe.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So
in Australia.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I do think that they are quite clear on those beliefs because they are fundamentally, you know, evangelical beliefs. Like, there's no denying that that's the religion that they subscribe to. But I think here at C3 Toronto, first of all, on the C3 Toronto website, they don't list any of that stuff. And I think that I certainly never heard that on stage coming from any of the preachers, like any reference to those types of values whatsoever. And I did go to many sermons as I was researching the film and as I was filming. And I would venture to say that that's something that they do strategically, because even though the head pastors, Pastor Sam and his wife Jess, they're originally from Australia, and they came to Canada in order to plant a church, to plant C3 Toronto. They know, like, they're savvy and they know their audience here in Toronto and they know the climate here in Toronto. And I'm sure that they wouldn't want the negative attention of, you know, these media outlets who covered what they're doing here, to be discussing those types of things, you know, openly, because they know that wouldn't necessarily sit well with a Toronto audience. So I think that they sort of, gloss over that, I would say, and, you know, emphasize that everyone's welcome. But in my experience talking to different people who went to the church, and then as we show in the film with one of the characters in the film, you know, the more you get into it, the more deeply involved you become, that type of messaging becomes more clear on maybe an individual basis. Like if an individual congregant is in a same-sex relationship, then they will start to hear from other members of the church about whether that's, well, essentially that's not right by the Bible.
So what becomes of LGBT parishioners who join the church? Are they basically told never to have sex for the rest of your life because they oppose sex outside of marriage and they also oppose same-sex marriage?
Yeah.
I mean, I just wonder how... If someone from this group joined the church, how can they coexist?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. And, you know, in a way, even though I spent so much time there, I was always an outsider, right? Like I was, you know, there with a camera and they knew that I wasn't a Christian. And I, like I said, I had lots of different conversations with different people who went to the church, some of whom self-identified as queer. And to be honest with you, like I got different responses from the different people who went to the church and were queer. Some people I think felt that they were able to sort of turn a blind eye to the values that they didn't agree with because they felt that they were getting so much out of the rest of what they got from church. I think others, it sort of came as a surprise and like a slap in the face because they felt this is the place where they are, you know, they wanted to come to be accepted. This is where they found their family and they found that purpose and all the rest of it. And then to realize sort of belatedly that, you know, their lifestyle, like who they are is not being 100% accepted and that you're being told to sort of change who you are, obviously feels really bad and alienating. And so there are definitely people who left the church as a result when that became clear to them. So I've sort of seen a variety of responses and definitely some people who were angrier about it. But I think it's hard for me to kind of say in a black and white way, like this is what happens, because I do think it is sort of on such an individual level, the way they talk to their congregants about it. And it is done not as a sort of general statement from stage, that I just don't know whether a preacher would go up to somebody and say like, no, you shouldn't be having sex anymore. Or if it would just be sort of like a slow sort of encouragement again and again to move away from a particular type of like quote unquote lifestyle.
So this is very different from the televangelists we see on TV from the States, you know, out poison, out Satan type.
Yeah, I think so. And I really think there's like a variety of responses that can be had to that, because I think there would be many who would say, you know, rightfully so, that might be even more insidious, because if you're not just being open about what you believe in, then that is almost a lie, and that you might be almost like tricking people into something, and that's sort of like emotionally manipulative. On the other hand, I mean, I think that perhaps it's like, I can't speak for the preachers at C3, but I, you know, I hear them say over and again that everyone is welcome and that they're slogan is that we exist to connect people to God, and they want to get people in the door and like to find that personal relationship to Jesus. And so almost like the rest will follow. And I think there's also an argument to be made that perhaps the way that they want to approach it is less hateful and discriminatory than some of those other churches, like those televangelical, oh my gosh, televangelists in the States. Wow, my vocabulary today. But you know what I mean? Like, I think there's two different ways to look at it. And it's hard for me as an outsider and a documentarian to say one way is the correct way of looking at it.
So finally, I've been calling your documentary Blessed, but when this is radio, but when it's written, it's hashtag Blessed. Can you talk about its place within the culture of social networks?
Yeah, I mean, I think we added that hashtag for, you know, just sort of to indicate the millennial aspect of the church. And I mean, they definitely use Instagram very well at C3 to market their church. I mean, they're very connected online and you know, really cater to their target demographic very well, because I think there's like a bit of an aspirational aspect to all of that. You look at their Instagram, it's super slick, full of these like images of beautiful, positive, diverse people wearing really awesome clothing. Like, honestly, like people look great at church. Like, it looks like just like you're in the pages of a young fashion magazine. And I think that people my age, there's a comfort involved in going into a space where you look around and you think this is something I'd be proud to Instagram and put on my Instagram stories, because it fits with the rest of my life and it is even, you know, more beautiful than the rest of my life. It's aspirational to me, as opposed to a young person deciding to go to like, you know, an old school church every Sunday where they might feel not that it fits with their life, and it's not something they'd be proud to do amongst.
Well, one of your film subjects said, "I'll go to the church as long as I can wear jeans, as long as I don't have to wear a dress."
Exactly.
It's a church where you don't have to wear a dress.
Yeah.
No, it's a fascinating movie, and it's having its world broadcast premiere this Saturday night on CBC Docs POV at 8 p.m. in Toronto, and on CBC Gem streaming. I've been speaking with Ali Weinstein. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.